we are going to, in here, continue our series on the promise of Christmas. Promise of Christmas. And last week, we spent some time, we looked at the wise men and saw how they were guided by the promise. This week, I want to take a little bit of time and look at Mary and Joseph and see how they maintained faith through the journey, that how they held on to the promise. And so that's kind of the idea that I want to bring across this week. And again, as I did last week, I feel like it's important that before we can get too deep into what I want to share, I want you to understand what the promise is. What is the promise? When we talk about the promise of Christmas, what is the promise? And it's this, found in Genesis chapter 12. It says that the Lord said to Abram, "Leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family. Go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you." See, I believe that last line is the promise of Christmas. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. And so we have the perspective to look back and see that this promise was fulfilled by Jesus. That this promise that all the families of the earth would be blessed through Abram is fulfilled through his great-great-great-great-grandson, Jesus. And today, as we explore this, this is the context. That God desires all the nations to know him, all the nations to worship him, all people from all times through all of eternity to have an opportunity to know him, to praise him, to worship him. And it's his desire that when the end comes, that when we are in heaven, there will be a representation of every tribe, every tongue, every nation in heaven because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. And so that's our promise. Today, we're going to look at this promise through the lens of Mary and Joseph, through the idea that here is this couple who, I don't know if they were asking to be a part of the story. I'm sure that they wanted to please God. I'm sure they wanted to be honoring to God. But I don't know that they were going out and saying, you know, I want to be a part of this Christmas story. I want there to be a legacy in my life through which all the world will look back and say how wonderful it was that these two people were a part of the story. And so we have all of this circumstances around. You know, we know that they were the right people at the right time through the right lineage. But when we read the story, again, it becomes so easy to honor them, to lift them up, to exalt them to the point of that they were these superhuman examples. You know, unfortunately, some churches take that view, that they were these superhuman people. But the truth is, they were regular, ordinary people who found themselves in a very unique part of God's story. But yet, in that, they chose to glorify God. And so, I want to read to us a passage that we find when Jesus was just over a month old. He was 40 days old, and as was required by the law, Mary and Joseph go to the temple to present Jesus. And when they do, as had been happening for probably a little while through this entire one-year process, strange things start to happen. This man who we don't even know who he is really. We have his name, but we don't know anything else about him. He enters into the story and picks up Jesus and blesses him. And then this other woman just starts, telling people that the Messiah has come. And so, all these weird things are happening. And that's where I want to pick up here in Luke chapter 2. If you wouldn't mind standing with me for the reading of God's word, we're going to read Luke chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 33 through 35. Luke chapter 2, verses 33 through 35. And we're going to be reading today out of the New Living Translation. And this is how it reads. Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, the baby's mother, "This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall, but he will be a joy to many others. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we again thank you one more time for the gift of Jesus. That as we explore the promise, as we recognize that by giving us Jesus, you are blessing the whole earth, that all the families, all peoples, all tribes, all tongues can come to know you because of what Jesus accomplished on that cross. And today, as we take some time to look at Mary and Joseph, help us to understand a little bit more of their willingness to be used by you, their willingness to hold on in what seemed like very weird and very difficult circumstances. That through them and through their example, we could have a peace in the midst of whatever we are walking through. That we could have a joy even when things seem difficult because we have Jesus. So God, we praise you, we honor you, we lift you up. Open our hearts, open our minds. Help us to be ready to receive everything you have for us this morning. As we look at your word, we pray these things in your wonderful name. Amen. Before you're seated, turn around to one or two people and just say, "Keep holding on." So again, we're here looking at this story of Mary and Joseph. And what I would really want us to see from their example is, again, that they were normal people in probably a very abnormal situation. But yet, it's what they did with this situation that allows them to be a part of this story. It's how they interacted with their part in this cosmic play that allows us to look back at them and to just be in awe of their faith and their dedication to follow through. And so, there's three things that I've lifted from here that I want us to kind of look to and to kind of see that these are things that we can learn from Mary and Joseph that will hopefully help us as we walk through this life, as we go through difficult circumstances, as we try to make sense of what God wants to do in us. And so the first thing I want us to see that they did and how they acted is to look at what they did when the signs were speaking. What they did when the signs were speaking. Because again, they were told a lot of very interesting things. Whether it was from the angels, whether it was from the shepherds, whether it was from Simeon here in this story, they were told a lot of very interesting things. And so they had to take these things and process them and work through them and apply them and try to walk it out. So I want to see what to do when the signs are speaking. And I don't know about you, but I look at the Bible and sometimes I laugh because there's things in there that I don't know if they're meant to be humorous, but they make me laugh. And one from our passage is this This line here in verse 33, where it says, Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Okay, here is Simeon basically saying, I can depart in peace. I can leave this world in peace because I have seen God's salvation. I have seen the fulfillment of the promise that this baby is going to be the light of Israel. This baby is going to be a hope to all nations. And it says Mary and Joseph were amazed. And the reason why this makes me laugh is this is the same Mary and Joseph who had angels speak to them. This is the same Mary and Joseph who just moments after Jesus had been born, all of a sudden these shepherds show up and start saying, angels just talked to us and told us to come look for a child. You know, these are the same people who had most likely studied the scriptures, understood what it meant to be the Messiah, what it meant to fulfill that prophecy. And yet, here they are, and this man comes up and says, yep, this is the Messiah. And they're like, what? We don't get this. This is amazing. And so that's why I kind of find this funny, that they're amazed that Simeon would say this. But how many times when we hear God, when we may know the Bible, we may understand the Bible, we may have been raised in the Bible, but yet when God says, okay, now go speak to that person, or when God says, okay, now I want you to step out in this way, and we go, oh, well, I don't know if that's a little bit amazing to me. That's a little bit, well, you know, God, would you really want me to do that? You know, it's like, I feel like I have a little bit better understanding of them when I read this verse. That, yes, all these miraculous things had been said. All these miraculous things had been experienced. But yet there were still times when they were amazed by it all. There were still times where they didn't know quite how to process what God was doing. And so with that, I think it gives us some hope that there's times we don't understand it all. There's times where when God speaks to us, it's hard for us to comprehend. Sometimes it's hard for us to walk in it. But God still wants us to walk in it. You know, and even though they were amazed by this, they still did what God told them to do. They still fulfilled. I mean, even the fact that they were there doing what was required by the law to present Jesus at 40 days of age shows us that they were people who listened to God and they did what God told them to do. And so from this, a very simple thing I want you to kind of grab a hold of, and it's this: if God speaks, pay attention. If God is speaking, pay attention. You know, again, there's times where we hear these things. We feel this impression to go in and maybe talk to our friend. We feel an impression to maybe share something with a family member during Christmas. We feel this impression to maybe give a little extra money to this person we see on the street. And we want to kind of back away. Okay, well, is this really God? Is this really what I'm supposed to be doing? Or did I have too much bad pizza last night? Or is this, you know, or am I just feeling guilty about, you know, take some time and really pay attention. If it's God, what he's saying is going to align with his word. If it's God, what he's saying is going to align with his heart for other people. And so when God speaks, pay attention. If it's going to require you to step out and do something, step out and do something. But be people who are open to God speaking to you. Be people who are open to God sharing his truth with you. And so When the signs are speaking, pay attention. And don't just push things away. Allow God to be God. Allow God to speak to you. Allow God to do great and wonderful things in your life as you pay attention to what he's saying. The next thing I want us to kind of look at is what to do when the signs are silent. What to do when the signs are silent. And for this point, I purposefully didn't put any scripture there. For this reason, there are large chunks of the life of Mary and Joseph that we know nothing about. Again, if you follow the chronology, we hear about what happened before Jesus was born. We read about what happened at the birth of Christ. We see this story when he's 40 days old. You fast forward 2 years to when the wise men came. And then there's nothing for like 10 years until they lose Jesus in the temple in Jerusalem. You know, I always hear this, people say, well, I found God, I found God. You know, I always want to ask, was he really lost? You know, was God ever really lost? People say, oh, I found Jesus, I found God. Was he really ever lost? Well, this time he was. I mean, how would you like to be the only people in all of humanity who honestly lost God? You know, here they are, you know, they're in charge of taking care of this Son of God, and they lose him. You know, and so as a parent, you know, probably your worst nightmare is to lose one of your children, and these people get it put in the Bible. You know, and so we have that story when he's 12, and then nothing until he's 30. So there's roughly 25 years of complete and utter silence. No, as far as we know, there was no angel speaking. As far as we know, there were no more shepherds showing up. There were no more wise men coming to find Jesus. They were simply doing what they were supposed to be doing. They were simply being faithful with what had already been spoken over them. You know, and the thing I want you to get is that there's a power to trusting God even when you don't know what's going on, even when you can't understand the truth of what is happening. And, you know, I love what this author, Reuben Welch, had to say. He said, with God, even when nothing is happening, something is happening. Even when nothing is happening, something is happening. And so, again, we have these 20-some years of complete silence into the life of Jesus, into the lives of Mary and Joseph. All we really know that happens is during that time they raise Jesus. During that time they have at least 4 more kids because it talks about his brothers and his sisters. So that means if they're multiples, there's got to be at least 4 other children. So Jesus had some brothers and sisters that he grew up with. Again, you can assert certain things based on when Jesus was doing his earthly ministry and he was crucified, he actually called upon John to take care of his mother. So that gives you a sense that Joseph was probably had passed away somewhere during that period of time, from the time he was 12 till the time he was 30-something. We don't know what was happening, but we have a pretty good confidence that they were being faithful. They were faithfully doing what God had called them to do. They were faithfully raising up Jesus in the instruction of the Lord. They were faithfully doing all the different things they were supposed to be doing as parents. And you get that because when Jesus is finally ascended, when it's finally revealed he is the Messiah, his brothers are among those who worship him because their parents had taught them how to understand and recognize the Messiah. And so, you know, these same brothers who wanted to put him away because they thought he had gone crazy were worshiping him. And so I want you to see that faithfulness in the everyday provides strength for the someday. We don't know how God's going to work. We don't know when we're going to have the opportunity to be a part of something truly amazing. But when we're faithful in our everyday lives, it provides the strength for those somedays when we get to see God do amazing things. It gets to give us the opportunities to kind of step out and say, God, you allowed me to be a part of something truly special. But we miss those sometimes because we may not be as faithful as we need to be. You know, and again, my encouragement to you from this story is that when there's silence, you just keep moving forward. You know, I know I've shared this probably 100 times already with you guys, but you know, probably the time when this really kind of struck me was when God told me to prepare to go to the Olympics in Beijing. You know, and here I am, I'm a youth pastor in this little town in Montana. God says, prepare to go to the Olympics. I'm like, what does that mean? How do I prepare? What should I do? And God was silent. For 6 years. God told me this in 2001. For 6 years, God was completely silent. You know, and so I knew he told me to go, so I started learning Mandarin. I started learning about culture. I started trying to hang around with Chinese people. And I did the last thing I knew to do. You know, and in that time, I changed jobs several times, but I knew somehow, some way, I was going to be in Beijing for the Olympics. And then in 2007, the missions organization said, we want you to spend August of 2008 in Beijing, and we're going to pay for you to go there, and we're going to pay for you to run our teams. And then while I was there, I was able to be a part of something. And right now, there are missionaries in China that I've helped place there. So I got to be a part of something very special, and I'm continuing to be a part of something very special because in the everyday life, in my going and coming, I knew somehow I needed to be faithful to this word to be prepared to go to China in 2008. And so we have to allow that faithfulness to trickle into our everyday lives. The other thing I want us to see is what to do when the signs are strange. Because I'm here to tell you, if you follow God long enough, if you start listening to him, if you start trying to understand his voice in your life, there's going to be times where it doesn't make sense. There's going to be times where God says something to you and you're going, what is that? But that doesn't negate the fact that God wants us to be obedient. When it's strange, when things don't always make sense, I mean, God told a man to build a boat in the middle of a plain when they had never seen rain before, and he said, it's going to rain and I'm going to flood the whole earth. God told a shepherd boy to take on a giant with a couple of stones and a sling. There's times where God is going to tell us to do things that are strange, when God is going to speak things over our lives that are strange, they're not going to make sense. What do we do with that? You know, in this passage, I don't know if you caught this, but this is a very strange thing to say to a mother. Simeon, looking at the mother, he says, you know, as a result, the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul. How would you like to hear that when your child's 40 days old? Oh, by the way, this child is going to do amazing things, and a sword's going to pierce your soul. What? But it happened. It took a few years for it to happen, but it happened. Because we have witness of Mary watching her son be crucified. I can't imagine a much more piercing experience for a mother. And so, here is this sign. Here is this prophet speaking over her. And she didn't know what to make of this. She didn't know how to move forward with it. But when some of us get those kind of words, when some of us are told to do some things, when some of us are asked to step out, there's times when we don't always understand it. It doesn't always make sense to us either. So what do you do? What do you do when God is speaking or when circumstances are going around and they don't make sense? When things don't make sense, trust the one who does. When things don't make sense, trust the one who does. There are going to be times where all the signs seem to point in the wrong direction. You trust God. There's going to be times where the signs maybe even pointing in a direction that doesn't seem right. You trust God. Go with what God spoke to you. Go with the things you know clearly are spoken to you through God's word. Trust those things. And if you clearly hear God speak to you and it seems a little weird, it seems a little strange, trust that too. If God tells you to go build a boat in the middle of a plane and it's going to flood, trust him. I mean, he's probably not going to call you to do that, but he might call you to do something really weird, like tell a fellow employee about God, or invite a friend over to your house and invite some other Christians so that they can get to know each other. You know, you don't know what God's going to ask you to do, and it may feel uncomfortable, it may feel strange, but trust him. One of the lines I absolutely love when it comes to Mary. You know, the thing about Luke is Luke probably knew Mary. There's a good chance that Mary was still alive when Luke was writing his gospel. There are accounts of history where both Luke and Mary lived in Ephesus. There are tombs dedicated to both Luke and Mary in the city of Ephesus. And so, I mean, think about this. You're going to write down the story about Jesus, and you get to sit down next to his mom and say, okay, so what was it like when this happened? Tell me about the shepherds again. Tell me about when these people came to you. Tell me what it was like. You know, and you have a good idea that he had that, because not only does he talk about the events, he talks about what Mary was thinking. He talks about what Mary was considering. You don't get that kind of information if you don't talk to the person. And so, in chapter 2, we have this amazing line. It says, Mary kept these things in her heart and thought about them often. Some translations say Mary pondered these things in her heart, or Mary treasured these things in her heart. When God says stuff to you and it doesn't always make sense, when God puts things in your path that don't always seem like maybe they belong there, trust God and ponder them. You know, there's going to be times people are going to try to speak things over your life and they're going to say it's from God, or it's going to be come across as thus saith the Lord, and it might not be God. Ponder them in your heart. Take time to process. Take time to let God's love, God's truth speak over you. Because when it doesn't make sense, you got to trust him. And I believe that's what Mary and Joseph did. They trusted. Even though this didn't make sense, even though it didn't make sense to get up and go to Egypt, they went to Egypt and Jesus was spared. Even though it didn't make sense to move to Nazareth, they did. And when they got there, it was able to be fulfilled, some of the prophecies about where Jesus would be and different things that would happen. You know, we have all of these stories in place in the life of Jesus to a large degree because Mary and Joseph were faithful when things didn't really make a lot of sense, when the circumstances were strange. So my question to you this morning is, what does God want to do in your life? What has God been speaking? What sense of destiny has he put in your heart? Because I believe God wants to do something great through you. And hear me out, it may not be, you know, some great worldwide, you know, thing that everyone's going to hear about. But it may make an impact in someone's life for eternity. We have to be open. We have to be listening. God wants to do stuff in our lives. You know, this promise that God wants all the families to be blessed through Jesus Christ can have an impact on us. And I recognize that sometimes it's going to be difficult. Sometimes our faith is going to be tested. Sometimes the signs are going to be strange. Sometimes God's just going to be silent. But we need to hold on. We need to listen. We need to take hold of what he's already spoken to and be faithful in that. Because I want you to see this. When we hold on to the promise, we will see God move. You will see God move when you hold on to what God is speaking to you. Again, in 2001, I had no idea how I was getting to China, but God did. And because I was faithful in it, people are still there today doing God's work, doing great things, bringing people to Jesus Christ. You have no idea, but that your faithfulness will touch the nations in a powerful way if you will just listen. If you will just open your heart to what God wants to speak to you. Who knows that you might be someone who could open your home to a Chinese student or a German student or a Saudi student or some other person in our community who could have a major impact on the world. You don't know. You don't know what is on the other side of your faithfulness, but trust me, if you hold on, you will see God move. It may not look the way you think it should. It may not taste the way you think it should. It may not reflect the way you think it should. But you will stand back and be amazed. Just like Mary was. Just like Joseph was. Where they say, I can't believe these things are being said. You're going to have an opportunity, either on this side of heaven or the next, to look back and see your faithfulness, your ability to hold on to God when times didn't make sense, when times were hard, when God was silent, you held on to those things that he did speak to you. You're going to see God move. You're going to see God do amazing things. And how can I stand up here and say that with any kind of confidence? Because I've seen it happen too many times. I've seen it happen in my family. I've seen it happen in my life. I've watched as my great-great-grandmother, who I don't even know, I've seen her prayers affect generations. Well, right now she's in heaven, so she has a clue, but all those years of kneeling down in that old farmhouse in Oklahoma, she had no idea the spiritual legacy, the spiritual generations that would be affected. Again, my faithfulness and just deciding I'm going to go to the Olympics, I still have no idea how the country of China is going to be affected by that choice. You have no idea. But I've seen it happen too many times, both through history and through personal experience, to say that your faithfulness is going to unlock unknown ways of seeing God move. If you will hold on, if you will stay the course, if you will be faithful, God wants to do something amazing through you. Can we pray? Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for the ways in which your love and your truth and your beauty is so wonderfully on display at Christmas time. And as people who want to be a part of the promise, want to be a part of seeing this fulfillment come, not just by your birth, not just by your death and resurrection, but by the way you are alive in us. I pray that this Christmas season, we would have opportunities to see the promise fulfilled in our lives as we speak love and truth and the life of Jesus into others. God, it is your desire that all the nations of the earth would be blessed through Jesus. And we get to be a part of it. We get to be a part of carrying that truth to our family, that truth to our neighbors, that truth to the people we go to school with, that truth to the people that we work alongside, to our community, to the university. God, we get to be a part of blessing all the nations. And I pray that you would help us to hold on. That God, when we know that you're speaking to us, we would have the faith to pay attention and to put into practice those things you are calling us to walk in. That even when there's times when we don't hear your voice, when we don't understand what we're supposed to do, that we would continue to be faithful. That we would continue to walk in the things that you have called us to walk in. And Jesus, when things don't make sense, that we would hold on to you. That we would hold on to the words you've spoken to our heart. That we would turn to your word and find comfort and find resolve and find the ability to walk in the things that you have clearly revealed. That our lives would be marked by spiritual victories. Our lives would be marked by seeing your hand at work. Maybe not every day, maybe not all the time, but as we're faithful, we would see seasons, we would see opportunities, we would see your light shine into dark situations because of our willingness to faithfully hold you up day after day after day. God, I believe you have amazing things in store for us. You have amazing things in store for our lives, for our families, for our church. Give us the grace to be faithful every day, to hold on to the promise that we would have faith through the journey, and that through us, all the families of the earth would be blessed as we reflect the great and wonderful God that we have been privileged to serve. We love you so much, Jesus. And we pray all of these things in your beautiful, powerful, life-giving name, the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.